there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Word to your mother.
Welcome to another very special Two Cool Moms. I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm along for the ride.
We're here in my apartment, so I went into my closet and I grabbed a scarf.
Do you wear the scarf?
I don't wear either of these. This is a character I play. That when we were on the road,
yes,
I used to take it with me so I could go in incognito, and I put glasses on as well. But I didn't put the glasses on. And his name was Dom. I forgot his name. But it was an Italian guy, and I used to be like, listen, you listen to me, Adami, I'll tell you. And I used to sit in the back of pizzerias.
Yeah.
But I figured I'll put this on today just to give you a little bit of...
A good scarf? Yeah, you look...
Ascot or scarf?
That's more a scarf. An ascot is like Thurston Howell III.
Well, here we go. Well, I'm glad that you appreciate a good scarf.
I like a good scarf. I've never pulled one off, but you could pull that off.
I think you could put a scarf on.
I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. What's the most fashionable choice you've ever made that you got instantly reprimanded for by your friends?
You know what? I told you I got made fun of for, and I bought it.
Yeah.
We were on the road.
Yeah.
And for no reason whatsoever, I bought a gold sequin jacket.
No.
Like a gold sequin jacket with a black. It was like a gold tuxedo jacket with a black lapel. I was like, I have this jacket. This is going to be a great jacket. They're like, you're never going to wear that. You'll never find a reason to wear it. Wore it to the movie premiere, and it crushed.
Oh, really?
I wore it to the Joker's movie premiere. Yeah, I had bought that on the road for no reason. I just was like, that's a jacket. I said, that's a jacket I'm going to want to wear someday. And that was when I wore it.
And that was the only time?
That was the only time. I think I wore it for like one other event after, but never before that. That was
Will you ever wear it again?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be afraid. You want to put it on now?
Do you have it?
I think so, yeah. I'm going to go see if I
have it. Let's try it. Yeah.
Talk to the crowd.
Okay. Well, while Joe is off getting my jacket, I want to tell everybody, guys, keep up with us on the road. Both of us are touring. Joe's doing his tour, and then I am. Oh, come on. That looks great. Yeah.
This is a great jacket.
That is a great jacket.
See?
You could wear that more often than just the premiere. That's great. You could wear that on the road.
It completes the look. I'm glad that you mentioned it.
For sure. That looks really good.
I'm on the road. JoeGattoOfficial.com is where you get tickets for me. Steve's on the road.
SteveBurnLive.com is where you can see my tour schedule.
Great.
And then on the off occasion, I'll join you and hang out.
Yeah. A couple more times, yeah.
That jacket looks great.
I told you. I bought it with no purpose, and then it ended up being my...
One of the best jackets I ever got. We were on the road together. Nordstrom Rack.
Yeah.
Nordstrom Rack. And... I saw a jacket and I was like, as like a goof, I'd get this. And you're like, no, seriously, you can wear that. And I've worn it a few times. It's one of my favorite jackets.
Did you wear it at the taping? No, you wore it at the charity event.
I wore it at a charity event, yeah.
That's right.
Back in Pittsburgh.
And it looked fantastic.
Yeah.
See, I do have fashion sense. Don't let this. Don't let
this. Supermodel, work. Turn to the left. Work.
Turn to the right. Work. I am cover girl. I am... a great consigliere because I know how to dress people as well.
Well, you worked at Nordstrom.
When it comes to it, I know what's going to look good on people. I know what's not going to be for you, and I won't be afraid to tell you if it's good for you and if it's not good for you. I'm going to hit you with the truth bomb right in the face.
You're the real. You're going to like the way you look.
Yeah, I am.
You are the real.
For sure.
Men's Warehouse.
I am the Men's Warehouse. I'm the Men's Warehouse of comedians.
And I'm wearing
a
dog father.
Beautiful dog father hat that you found in my closet.
Hat that you had. And this is in support of your book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My life.
Your life, yeah. My life. Ultimately.
Ultimately, my life. It became my life. Started as a book.
How many dogs are you guys up to now?
We're at 24.
That is bananas.
I think we just got 26, actually. We just got Ricotta and Risotto. Two three-year-old, three-pounders.
You call them the leftovers?
Leftovers.
You got...
They're on their way out, those two. They're not going to be around long.
But that's the whole point. You're taking in these pups that would have...
Oldies but goodies, we like to say.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily all good, though. I'm not going to lie to people. Like, some of them are just like, they're not nice dogs. They're just, but they need a place to be loved.
Yeah, they're loved.
Yes.
They're being treated well. Sure. And they're being sent off in the nicest way possible.
Yeah.
Before, and you're doing that.
The last couple pets have got to be the best.
What was your first one?
My first rescue dog?
Yeah.
Biscotti.
And how long ago was that?
8 years ago.
And so Biscotti started
the rescue.
Biscotti's responsible for...
It's Biscotti's fault.
Yes, the 26 dogs.
Yes, Biscotti's... Yeah, well, more than 26 because they died.
Sure, yeah. So how many in sum total?
Probably about 36.
All in?
Probably about all in is about 36. Probably to a 10 if we flip the switch on 10. I just flipped the switch. about 10 of them, maybe? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. I remember...
Why do people do that with rescue dogs, but you never see them do it with cats?
With that, get that many cats? People have cats like that. But they call cat situations hoarding situations because cats become feral, where they just take over your house and neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Dogs kind of just stay where they're supposed to, but cats like infiltrate your homes. They are.
They form a coup.
They are a coup. They're like, we're taking this place over. Well, yeah. Cats will eat you when you die. Dogs don't. You heard that thing, right? That's why everybody likes dogs better than cats. Yeah.
Cats eat you?
Cats will eat you. Like, if you is a dead body of an owner and a cat's going to die, it'll eat its owner where a dog will just die. It's like a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
This is a real thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing. If you could find stories where cats eat their owners that have died.
I got to kill my cat.
Yeah.
My daughter's cat.
You know what? When I was a kid, I had the most turnaround when it came to birds. I always had so many birds. I had Chi-Chi and Cha-Cha. We had a couple finches. And I loved birds, but they would always die on me. I wasn't good at keeping birds. And
did you not feed it?
I don't know. I had one.
I'll be honest.
I had one. No, here's a story. I had
How old were you when you had that?
This is young preteens to teens.
Okay.
And I had a bird that grew another beak. So it grew a side beak. It had like, I think I...
What?
It had like a beak. And I don't know why maybe we kept it too close to the radiator, but it had like a side beak that came out and it had like a full top and bottom. And I was like, what? Like a mutated beak.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh man, what happened to the bird? And then like...
Maybe we should move the bird cage away from the microwave.
Yeah, that might have been it. No, it should be fun. Yeah, we had that. And I had a lot of turtles.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Shelby. I had Shelby. I had...
You love that name.
Love Shelby. Shelby's a great turtle name. If you're going to have a turtle, you got to name it Shelby or Quick. I had turtles. What'd you have growing up besides you had a dog now?
We had a dog when I was super young, but it didn't last long.
It grew a second beak.
But it was always cats.
Cats.
I lived by a farm in New Jersey, and this kitten followed me home.
Oh, wow.
Literally followed me home. Because I was petting it, and it just wouldn't leave me alone. And so Tips, because it had white tips on his,
yep.
I called it Tips. So Tips stayed with us till we moved to Pittsburgh. And then passed away due to old age. And I've just always been around cats. I don't want them.
Yeah, they just want you, though.
I don't want them.
You have a cat-like features, though. Your eyes are very cat-like. You don't think you have cat-like features?
I've heard I have dolphin-like features.
No, have you?
Yeah. Just like a smooth Asian
skin.
Like my face looks aerodynamic because I'm Asian or something.
If you were an animal, what would I make you? I would say...
What would you make me?
Yeah, I would think you would be... If I had to draw you as an animal.
Okay.
If you were my muse and I had to draw you as an animal.
Uh-huh.
I would definitely draw you something in the feline family. I would probably maybe a cougar. No, you're more of like a jaguar. You're a jaguar.
You'd want to be a dog, and I wouldn't make you a dog.
You're a jaguar. No, I wouldn't want to be a dog. I mean, I'm a toucan. Look at this nose. You always called me the Italian toucan. What animal would you draw me? What would you make me? If looking at my features,
right?
Not coming. What would you? What do I look like to you?
I would say camel.
Really?
Yeah.
A camel.
Camel or like a horse.
I have bovine features to you.
Yeah, not like a Sarah Jessica Parker.
Interesting.
But you have a very slender face.
Slender face.
Yeah.
Slender face with big nose.
So it's kind of, yeah.
A camel be cool.
Yeah.
Let's have a contest. Whoever draws Steve as the best cat and me as the best camel wins a prize.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the prize?
The prize is a sleepover at your house. You get to follow him home like Tips. No, there's something cool. We'll sign something and send it to him.
Yeah,
that'd be
cool.
Yeah. Yeah, go to @twocoolmoms @twocoolmomspod on Instagram.
Yeah,
tag us.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And the photos, and I would love to see that.
Yeah, we don't have any fan artwork.
We don't have.
You
much
always
fan
see
artwork.
Other podcasts with that. The fan artwork and stuff. We don't have much of that.
Well, we use our fans give us content. That's the difference.
That is true.
That's the heavy lifting to you guys, and we appreciate you guys for helping us out with that.
But
stuff.
It's not enough. I want more.
More. Yeah, I would love that. I would love to see.
Yeah.
Then also for fun, we should try
an eagle.
That's good. That's good.
You would make.
I'd rather be an eagle, guys. So draw me as an eagle, not a camel. Yep. Joe is an eagle. You is a jaguar. Steve is a jaguar.
Jaguar. All right. Yeah. Or a dolphin.
A dolphin, you think? I didn't say that. Who said that to you? Do you remember who said that to you?
Yeah, the writer's room at Sullivan's Son.
Said you look
and
like
then a... they put it in the show.
Did they?
Christine Ebersol said, Steve, girls like you. You have these smooth dolphin-like features.
That's very funny. That's very funny.
And she nailed that line, of course.
All right, so you as a dolphin, Steve is a dolphin, and Joe is an eagle.
Yeah, okay. Sketch away. And let's see him.
Tag him, and you win a prize.
And we'll show him. Should we show him on a...
Oh, we'll show him, too.
We'll show him on the
for
air.
Sure.
Yeah. And
for
then
sure.
we'll have an episode kid around that. And there's so many talented people out there. The minute you put it out there in the world, let's see what they come up with.
I am so jealous of people that could draw. If I have one skill, one artistic skill, well, it's not a skill, right, if it's an artistic thing, but you know what I mean. If I could do one arty thing, it'd be drawing. Would you rather draw or sing?
Sing.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you feel like you'd use draw more than you would use sing?
I could sketch because I always doodled in school, so I could sketch.
Oh, you're doing a humble flex right now?
It's not humble.
Oh, there it is.
No, I can kind of sketch. I'm not fantastic.
It was very dolphin-like of you.
Thank you. Say,
put that in your blowhole. yeah, all right. So you.
But draw or sing?
You go sing.
Mm.
I go draw.
Really?
I would.
I would think with as much time as you spend on a dance floor, you'd love to belt it out.
Oh, if I could be a competitive dancer, though, that would be my art form. Could you imagine? Oh, my goodness. The damage I would do.
The damage you already do. What are you talking about?
Very
the
true.
Damage you would do.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. This is what I will tell you. You can sing. Anyone could perform.
Yeah.
Put on a performance than a singing-like atmosphere. I can't sing, but I could carry, like, a performance.
Sure, sure.
A musical performance.
Yeah.
But I can't sing well. But you can't fake drawing.
No.
You either draw well or you don't.
Yeah, it's either stick figures or it's a moment.
Yeah, exactly right.
But I always wanted to be the guy, like an 80s hair band where you hit that high note and it goes, like that.
Yep.
I would love to do that. And I would always do it when I have to take, like, a massive dump.
See, that's why Jesus didn't give you the skill, because you'd waste it.
I go, like that. I would die laughing doing that. I would die laughing doing that.
By yourself in the bathroom. You
yeah, did. I would just, I call, oh my God. So my wife watches garbage TV.
Yep.
Like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
This is bad. Like The Bachelorette, Bachelor. I watch it with her sometimes, but like Grey's Anatomy or something like that. She'll watch that stuff. And it's just so fake and false, and I'll just be walking through the living room, and you'll see people kissing or whatever, and I have to make the sound effects every time to, like, irritate her, but also think it's funny. So, like, if somebody's doing, like, making out, I'm like, and she's like, seriously, please, can
like
you
you're,
not?
You're ruining it.
I always ruin it, but I just think it's the fucking funniest thing. Just... when she's so into her show, and just your husband walks through, who's in his late 40s and is still going,
still finds that funny. I want you to stop. I'm asking you. America is asking you to stop.
It makes me laugh so hard. I'm not making myself. It's the absurdity of the fact that there's a grown man just going,
hey! Stop. I'm Team Jess on this one.
You don't do anything. You don't do anything like that at all.
Not that. No. Okay. I see what you're saying.
There's like, like, I just picture like my friends, like you doing dumb stuff. It's like, that's a man in his late 40s doing that. Like back of the school bus kind of shit. And it's not only the act of somebody doing it, but it's the age and the fact that they're not mature enough and they're still doing it. And that's what makes me laugh so hard.
For sure. For sure. I get that.
Okay.
So, but nobody wants it. So
yeah.
No one's listening at this point. Literally no one is listening to our podcast anymore. If you haven't hit stop, I appreciate you more than any listener, because I don't want to be here anymore, so, and I'm so part of this.
So wait, like, that doesn't make you laugh at all, or does it? No? Are you just kind of like, oh, it's just
no. Is it what, irritating? I haven't seen it. What I'm getting is the storytelling version of it. I haven't seen it in practice, so I'd have to see it in practice.
Well, just imagine Jess rolling her eyes like, please stop.
That makes me
laugh. And she'll like pause and go, please stop. Please stop. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I know.
She's like, please stop.
It's not for me.
But you know, the Bachelor, Bachelorette, they're making out. And I'm always like, she's like, please stop. Yes, and she'll pause it. Like, I can't enjoy, I will not even.
Do you continue. Do it when it's not, that either too? Is it like, do you do it like during the rose ceremony?
No, only when somebody's doing
when they're
it.
Making it.
Yeah.
So you supply, well, I guess you're adding value. You're supplying the soundtrack.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm a Foley artist.
You're a Foley artist, really.
Live.
You have heels on your hands, and when they're walking, you're just doing that. You're like, look, she's running.
But there is that's your whole life.
Yeah.
You're always doing things like
that. My whole life is really just annoying people.
Oh.
That what I think is funny. Well, let's get to some questions that help the world.
Okay, here we go. This is coming to us from... Well, here, let's not start off with that one.
Oh, okay.
We're
going to start off with a different
one. That one's a pretty tough one.
It's a little heavy to come from. It's heavy to come from the make out sound effects and slip into that. We got to go into neutral. We got to go into neutral. Yep. Thank you for still being here. Thank you, whoever. Thank you to the two people.
Okay. Okay. This is coming to us from Kate.
Okay.
Hi, mommies. I'm a groomsmaid, female groomsman. Thank you very much for that, mm-hmm. Kate. We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. For one of my besties, and I'm in charge of the bachelor party.
Oh!
Now, we're doing a bike ride to strip clubs, but I don't drink, and I'm not into women. What should I do with my time to not look like everyone's mom at the party? I'll tell you what you can do. Ready? When you're at the strip club, and a girl's dancing, or like giving a lap dance for one of the guy friends that you're there, just go...
Play the soundtrack. That's how you add value. Yeah. That's how you
add value. Yeah. Not there. More fingers. More fingers.
I don't even know. Give me that hat back. Give me my hat back. I don't want this on my brand.
Sorry. Okay, here we go. I'm back to being Stevie. All
right. Was it the hat that did it?
The hat did
I mean,
suggest she does. So obviously she.
You gotta just be a curator of fun. Right, you have to make sure everybody's have the be a host or you know a host or hostess. Right, where you mm-hmm. really just make sure everybody has their drinks full. Make sure that the groom is being taken care of. He's having a good time. Either if he wants to have his dances or he wants to see his friends have a good time. You know, I've been in bachelor parties where there's been. It's either two things. The groom, everybody wants to give the lap dance to the groom, or there's that one quiet friend that is like, everybody wants to see him. Monkey pile them. I feel like it's one of those two ways, but I think you're really just a curator of the fun. Make sure the bikes are rented. You know, you're a curator. You're a host. You want to make sure that they're, you know, that the dancers are not taking advantage of everyone.
And of quality.
And of quality, for sure.
Yeah.
And you want to just make sure that it's all about making sure that the groom is having a good time. That's what the bachelor party is all about.
By the way, I think she's already off to the races.
Yeah.
She's a cool girl.
Yep.
She got asked to be...
A groom's bride.
Yeah, a groom. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
I've never even heard that term before.
A dude
yep.
has a girl facilitate his bachelor party. And that's pretty sweet. So she's obviously a cool girl.
Yeah.
So I'd just be confident knowing that you're already there for a reason.
She knows the guy clearly really well. So. Yeah. I think you've got it fun. I would just say make sure that it's not all about... I've always found that if the night is just about the strip club, it always fails. Always have like a good dinner or something first too where you're just relaxing. It shouldn't be all about that as the main event. It's never really panned out to be the best because there's so much... At least you would have a good dinner first if the strip club didn't go well.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Good dinner with the fellas,
yep.
But then my go-to in a strip club every time is the guy that there's a guy that really wants to go there.
Yep.
A guy that's very excited to be there. He needs this more than anybody.
Yes.
Every strip club has the weathered vet. Okay. There's a veteran that's been in there a little too long
mm-hmm.
and nobody's really getting dances from her. So
my favorite thing to do is to just give this girl a wad of cash and go, oh my God, you are absolutely his favorite. Can you please dance for him for like the next hour? And I'll get, and now this guy's posted up. He can't get out of it. Yep. She's got the money. You just ruin his night. And now you're just going to watch him just plow through it. And her too, by the way.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. She's like, oh, I got to be with this one guy.
It's my favorite thing to do.
That's fun. That's fun. Ruin the guy's experience.
Ruin someone's experience.
Don't do that to the groom, though.
No, no, not the groom. No, no, no. The groom's got to. The groom's going to be. He's going to be blotted.
Dude, that's a Ted. That's a Ted move.
Yeah.
Ted wants to be too. Ted's too. Too much. He wants to be there, Ted.
Look at you. Look at you. I don't think you even know what you look like right now. I know. You look fantastic.
You know what? I'm very happy to be here.
It's your podcast.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Coming to us from Emma. Hey, Joe and Steve. Love seeing you both in Birmingham, UK, a few years back. I've written my first novel during the pandemic, which is something I'm super proud of. So congratulations, Emma.
Yes, good job, Emma.
I've wanted to be an author my entire life. I'm at the stage now where I'm trying to get it published. Problem is, I never get responses from the agents and publishers I write to. Do I just give up and figure writing isn't my forte after all, or should I keep going? It's your first rodeo. You got to keep going.
Yeah, I mean,
Expect your first one to be a breakout success? No.
It's probably not good, first of all. It was your first one. So let's be honest with ourselves.
It's good now.
It's good now.
That's the point. It's good now.
Right.
And years from now, if you don't give up, which you shouldn't,
right,
you'll look back at it and go, ah, that was good enough at the time.
Exactly.
It was a good crutch.
Yes.
And I'm still proud of it, but as you advance, your writing will only get better.
Yeah, I think...
Don't give up.
I think, for sure, that's the first takeaway, is don't give up on it. Also, you're just worrying about other people's opinions in an oversaturated market, because you're not the only person, especially during the pandemic, that people took up writing.
Yeah.
It was the thing that everybody could do, right? But you're also in the world where self-publishing is a very easy thing to do. I self-published The Dog Father. I self-published on Amazon my first book.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need anybody. There's no barrier to entry. You go ahead and publish that book, and then people could order it, and you market it yourself. So that would be the way, if you want really want the book to get out there, you don't need the approval of an agent or anything.
And by the way, think of all the lessons you're learning by self-publishing and doing that. All the expertise you'll have in terms of dealing, in terms of ownership, in terms of equity, all that stuff.
It's all yours. So I would say, if you want the book to get out there, then go ahead and self-publish it after you've tried this avenue. And the way you're trying to do it is near impossible. It is. It's very hard for just to blind submit to an agent and get someone to respond. It's going to be really hard. You'd have to either get a literary agent first and help them show them the book and be like, hey, this is what I have. Can we go out and pitch it? And then you have to get a publisher on board.
Yeah.
It's a lot of steps. It's not super easy. The least barrier to entry is to self-publish, which you could do right now. You upload that manuscript right now and you're done. So it's what do you want to do? Do you want to have your book out there, or do you want to start a relationship with a literary agent and a house? If you want to start with a literary agent and a house, you need to have multiple pieces of work. So you could start writing your second one, or bridge this one, work however you want to do it. So that's my insight into this scenario. I've just learned this whole thing because I just started with a lit agent for, I'm writing a kid's book, which is going to be fun. So with that, I didn't want to do the self-publishing thing anymore. I said, oh, let me try to do it the other way. And I'll have to say, it was really fun and easy just to do it on my own with The Dog Father, which I did during the pandemic, actually. So,
hold on.
There you go. Which is available on,
there we go.
It's available on Amazon if you want to check it.
Yeah.
But I would say, that's my advice. My advice is those are the two realities. So which way do you want to go?
Right. But by the way, like,
but definitely don't give up.
Super proud that you wrote your own book. I mean, that's a huge. How many people? You did it.
Yep.
How many people talk about it? How many people, you know, dream about it? How many people start and don't even finish?
You finished a book. That's the biggest thing. You put the final period on, which a lot of people don't. They stop at the end. So here, this is for you, first of all, and then don't be silly. Please don't. Don't stop, can't stop. Don't give it up. Mama say, mama saw, mama saw. That's what I would say.
Did you even know I wrote a book?
You wrote a book?
Yeah.
I did not know you wrote a book.
It's called 1,000 Grunts and My Wife.
I heard the audio version. I know you wrote an audiobook. You should have self-published that audiobook. It's just that. Yeah, that's a whole book. I'm sure it'll crush. Be New York Times bestseller.
This is coming to us from Stone. Mm. Stone says, hi, what's up, coolest moms? My name is Stone. My question is, how do you deal with nerves? Now, I'm going to jiu-jitsu tournament and want to know how to deal with the nerves when performing. Thanks. Best podcast on the platform. Thanks for the laughs.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Stone. That's very cool. Thanks for not kicking our butt, too. I
appreciate that, Stone.
Yeah. By the way, you got to be a badass if your name is Stone.
Stone. You need to know.
What's up? My name's Stone.
Jiu-jitsu.
And I can choke you out in 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm. I hope he doesn't go up against water.
Classic ghetto.
Or paper. Paper beats stone.
Or
scissors. No, he beats scissors. He beats scissors.
That's right, yeah. I'm a dipshit.
Okay, much better. So here's the thing that I would say about nerves. It's all about channeling energy into redirecting energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're nervous or something like that, you could turn nervousness into excitement if you just learn how to handle it and learn how to like... redirect it, because nerves is a good thing. I like nerves. Nerves means that you're doing something that's taking you out of your comfort zone. You're pushing yourself into a different thing, or you're doing something of importance. Like if you're not if you don't have nerves, you're just in your comfort zone doing the same old same.
Yeah.
Nerves show growth, right?
Yeah. But I also think when you're an athlete, well, as a former athlete.
I'll let you take this part. Because I'm not an athlete.
Walk us through when you're bowling.
When you're up to that. Eighth frame, and you're staring down 10 pinners, and you know you got to get a mark up here. You know, you need spare at least strike would be great.
Yeah,
you've adjusted for the oil on the lane.
Is this real?
You moved your boards, you moved 2 or 3 boards east to west, and you know that you need really to get between that
you
second.
You adjust for part. Oil on the
adjust
boards,
just for oils. Yeah, if you're not hitting the pocket, you know, if the oil because. Each lane's its own thing, man. I wouldn't expect you to understand. What you really need to do, if you're really getting, you're nervous and you're shaking, you know you got to keep that, got to keep your follow through, you got to keep your wrist tight. Use those nerves to your advantage, Stone. That's what I'm saying. You're going to throw that ball and you're going to get that turkey. Gobble, gobble, friend.
I would assume in jiu-jitsu, once the ref blows the whistle, you're off to the races. You're not thinking about anything other than reflexively reacting to what's going on and being...
It's go time, right?
It's total go time. I don't think you... I remember playing, you know, hockey in like college and going to like, you know, where the Penguins play or, you know, where the Red Wings play or something like that, going to these arenas. You're kind of so nervous. But then the minute the puck's dropped, you're just like, you're off to the races. It doesn't matter.
He said a performance. So I'm wondering if it's a jiu-jitsu...
But it's a tournament. Is that how you...
Is that jiu-jitsu? Is that like, you know what I mean?
Is that
like
how you defend yourself?
He said... Oh, yeah. You don't want to fight with me. I mean, you come at me with fists, I give you the...
Do you bite and kick in the nuts?
I do what I need to do to survive.
All's fair in love and war?
There's no such thing as a clean fight. If anybody says, you don't want to win the fight. Because that's basically what it is. Because a fight just means I have to beat you. I'm poking eyeballs. I'm jamming fingers up nostrils. I'm groining. I'm attacking the groin full fervor.
You're not afraid of the legal system.
I'm not afraid of it. What is going to happen? What is going to happen? If I'm going to fight with you, I have to win. Because first of all, I'm not equipped to fight or win a fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to go with what I can get. Go. It's my hardest points. My elbows, my knuckles, and my skull. I'll be skulling your balls if I have to. I'll be skulling your balls. I ain't afraid to skull a ball.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I would say, yeah, but he's not a performance, right? He's fighting. Yeah, I think you're right. I think nerves turns to adrenaline, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think once you're, it's just like I'm sure when you were competing bowling, like you could, I'm sure you were at
don't
a
do,
tournament.
Don't,
no, but I'm sure you
don't, please, don't do that.
Be analogous to something that is relatable
don't
to you?
Don't you dare be analogous to me is what I'm saying.
Okay, I won't. My apologies.
Okay, you think I remember what it was like to be competitive bowling? First of all, that was 30 years ago. Okay? I did it in high school. The last time I competitively bowled was 30 years ago. Okay. So don't try to relate to me like I did.
Okay.
Right.
But when's the last time you went bowling?
3 weeks ago.
You love it. Yeah.
I love bowling.
Yeah.
So what does that have to do with it?
I'm just saying, I'm sure there was something.
You think I got nervous when I was playing at my daughter's birthday party?
But when you're
my daughter had to go to a birthday party. I picked up an extra lane. I was like, I want to bowl. What am I gonna do here?
Yeah.
And I bowled.
What's the highest score you ever got?
We talked about this. 288 in high school. That's when I had
288.
288.
But 300 is max, right?
300 is max.
Really?
Missed by 12.
I don't think you ever told me your high score.
I think so. Well, 288.
No, I think I asked you if you had a turkey.
I've gotten turkeys. Money a turkey. Please. That's when I use my nerves. Oh,
they call you Thanksgiving
they
Joe.
They call me Thanksgiving Joe. They call me, I gave him the cranberry, too. I gave him the cranberry. I got the turkeys and the cranberry bits. Couldn't get the casserole, though. Couldn't get the bean casserole.
Yeah.
Put a 300.
288?
288.
Is that like pro circuit score?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. No, well, I mean, the pros are anywhere. If they roll, they're bowling 300s on the reg.
Pros. Really?
Yeah,
so then how do you win
fluke. I never bowled that high again. It was a one game thing. That child's I don't know if the people heard that, but that child is in trouble. Huge fan of bowling.
Yeah.
He's like, you got a 288, yes.
But I'm sure there had to be challenges or things you've done, and the minute they say action.
For sure.
You don't think anymore.
I'll say the most nervous I probably was the movie set, having to act in front of like strangers, right? Because it was a whole crew, a different crew for the Impractical Jokers movie.
Yeah,
and it was for the non like hidden camera bits where we were out of our element, and we were doing it professionally with a large budget and cameras and people and a director. Like, sure. It was completely a different thing. I was probably one of the most nervous things I had to do, especially the scenes that you had to do by yourself that you weren't doing with the boys.
Right.
That was a little rough.
I think the most nervous I've ever been professionally was the pilot for Sullivan and Son.
Okay.
I remember because I was in every scene, and I knew if I messed up a line, if I wasn't prepared, I wasn't just holding up, like, it's a live studio audience. I'm holding up the camera guys, the cast from their mojo, moving forward with chemistry, all that stuff. So I was like, everything rests on me. And I remember I had access to the sound stage. I had a key card to stage 5 on the Warner Brothers lot.
Wow.
So I could drive on the lot anytime I wanted to. I could visit the sound stage anytime I wanted to. And so
Do you still have that card?
No, I had to turn it in. But I still have my Warner Brothers card to get me on the lot, but it's expired. But anyways, I remember if you set up a camera like those Paranormal Activity ones, you know?
Yep.
You would see a camera, you would see the set, and you would see me just doing my blocking over and over again. And I remember I spent 5 hours on Saturday, because the taping was Sunday, 5 hours on Saturday, going through each set, my blocking and everything, all my lines, so that I knew the day of. I was so nervous because I'd never acted before, like in front of a live studio audience, like on my own, like this is a show. And the minute you go to action, it's like, I didn't think any of it. I was like, I'm so prepared. Yeah. I know exactly what I need to do. So have fun.
So you help dilute the nerves part of it too by being prepared. So preparation is
almost to the point of over preparation.
Yeah. So preparation there, I guess, for Stone as well. Be prepared for what you have to do. So know your jujitsus. I don't know what the moves are called in jujitsu. Jujitsu
sounds like something like when you're drunk. Jujitsu? you study jujitsu?
It sounds like, did you call the Uber? Yeah. Jujitsu. I hope that helps, Stone. I hope that helped, pal.
By the way, good luck at your, excuse me.
Good luck jujitsu in.
At your tournament. Yeah. I'm sure you're going to crush it. And your name's Stone. Of course you're going to.
Even if you lose.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. You're still Stone.
You can't lose to Gary.
No, Gary's not going to beat Stone.
Yeah, Gary. Bartholomew.
The next match, it's Bartholomew versus Stone. I'm betting Stone.
All right, this is coming to us from Ronnie.
Okay.
I'm in a situation where I don't know whether to take a job that is 20 miles away but pays me slightly more, or to work somewhere that pays me slightly less than the other place but it's a couple miles away. The farther option seems like a better company.
Hmm.
So stay close, make less. Go further out, make more.
I'll tell you what. It's 20 miles. How much is your time worth? Because that's what's going to be. How much is your time worth? You increase your commute, right? Well, 20 minutes, you don't know where he's living. If he's in, you know, it could be hours worth of traffic. He doesn't give you that, right? All right, let's call it what it is. 20 miles more. I mean, is the money worth 20 miles less of your life? That's really what you look at.
40 minutes.
My guess is, yeah. I think you should probably take the better job because you're going to have to make sacrifices. You know, if it's a better opportunity, if you're better excited company. About it, better company, then sure. Yeah, I say take the job that's a little further away.
Yeah. Like, for example, like I could do a podcast at home.
Yeah. But he wants.
But do I want to get on a plane, fly to Concordia, get up at 4 a.m, fly here, film at my friend's apartment?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to do that?
His dog half bites him when he comes in?
Yeah.
You have a cookie? You got that part. I had to leave you here because I had to go run an errand.
Eat lunch by myself?
Yeah, lunch by myself. Errands. Yeah, I had to run an errand.
Pick up dry cleaning?
I had to do something. Well, these things happen. Yeah, I mean, you came to my turf.
What do I want
to
do?
It's really what you want to do with your life.
Yeah, when you come to Nashville, we're ready to go. We start at noon. We don't fudge around. You go off, do your shopping. We're done at 1 o'clock. You have 1 hour. Yeah. Boom, done. Thank you.
Right.
You know, I'm here. I got to sit around this dour apartment. It's like the Seattle of upstate New York. Look outside, it's dreary. There's dogs that want to bite me, chew me, and attack me. I got to eat lunch by myself like an animal when I can't talk and hang out with my good friend because he's got to go take care of his eighth house. Yeah, it's great. Sorry, what was the question?
I forget. I forget. All I heard was, I think take the closer job. Paris Steve is take the closer job. Joe Steve, take the further one.
Okay.
Love it.
This is coming to us from Erica. Somewhat slightly. Oh, okay. Okay. No, this is a serious one.
Okay. Let's hit it.
Okay. This is a serious
one. Let me adjust my scarf.
Sure. Okay.
Ready.
This is from Erica. I need your help. I'm a 40-year-old widow. My husband was shot almost 2 years ago, and I lost my mom 8 years ago in a car accident. I'm completely alone because I was never able to have kids. I'm having a very difficult time trying to stay positive. I live in a facility. I'm in hospice, just waiting to die. My kidney function is at 5%. I want to have something else to focus on instead of just feeling pain and thinking about dying. Please help me.
Wow. Okay, so that's pretty heavy.
Erica, I will tell you this right now. This is probably the most serious DM we've received on this. And
we don't shy away from them.
No. Although I initially would want to.
Mm-hmm. But that's not what this is about, Two Cool Moms. We're here to help everybody as best we can. So let's do what we can here.
Yeah, look... I mean, Erica, if you want to see a slow death to make you feel better, just come to see any of my performances.
Sure.
Okay?
That'll do it.
You want to see something miserable, visit my merch stand.
Yeah.
while Joe's doing a 200 meet and greet.
You don't want to see that. I mean, she's not going to want to spend her time that way. I will say this. I mean, you've already found a podcast that you'd like to listen to. Hopefully, and that gives you a little bit of things. I will say that there is, you know, you're putting yourself out there, and the only way to change your situation is to put yourself out there. Now, you have your health that you're dealing with, but you also have this loneliness. So what you need to do is try to find people that want to be part of your time or to give some of your time to at this point in your life. So that is where it gets a little bit tricky is like, where are you meeting these people? Where could you open yourself up to not be alone, right? You're dealing with being alone. For me, you said you're in a facility, so hopefully that facility has some sort of resources that can help you with this problem. We're not really well equipped to help you with this exact problem that you're dealing with, you know. And my normal advice would be put yourself out there and try to meet people. But you're also already dealing with this huge health thing that's an enormous weight on your shoulders, and I feel for you. And I'm sending you love and hopefully, you know, good vibes as best as you can to deal with that. I will say you seem nice and you need to get some exposure to people let people know that you want to spend time with people. So how do you do that? It's probably through the facility, through the people that are helping you there. There are probably some mental health professional people in this arena of this hospice that could help you do some reach out. I know that there were programs for my father when he was in hospice at home that helped him meet other people that were going through a similar situation, so he didn't feel like he was going through stuff alone. So maybe that's a possibility for you. It's also you're on your own, so it's tough that there's nobody else looking out for you to do this. So you're going to have to do it on your own. And life forces your hand sometimes where you're on your own and you have to do it on your own and you're in charge of your own fate. So I wish you luck and sending you much love. And that's my advice, I think.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I think anytime you're dealing with something incredibly, you know, insurmountable, and it sounds like there's an expiration date here. I think anytime people are dealing with those things, it's some sense of community mm-hmm. that helps them get through those things, whether it's Alcoholics Anonymous, whether it's veterans dealing with PTSD,
right.
Having some sense of community. So you're right. I think when you're, you know, maybe even forcing yourself to be part of a group where you're going through things together, and you can lean on one another. I also think like anybody in your situation almost has a gift, to be completely honest with you, because I did a doc on my good friend, the amazing Jonathan, and he had a terminal diagnosis. He knew he had an expiration date. And this whole time I'm making this film, every time I was around him, he was obviously a great comic mind. So he was always pumping out the jokes, but I knew not to take the time I was spending with him for granted because he was indeed passing before my very eyes. And he was a reminder to me every time I hung out with him, every time I talked to him on the phone, every time I thought about him, anytime I was working on the film, it was a reminder to me of like, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know when this could all be taken away from us, right?
Sure.
So for me, his presence in my life, especially at that time, was always a reminder of how quick life goes and to appreciate, like we had mentioned in another episode, just all the little things in life that are so important. So the fact that, you know, over the duration of your life, we got to intersect in this moment, I really appreciate it and giving me that reminder. And I'm hoping as you carry on that you do find a sense of community, but we're here for you. We love you. We're sending you nothing but good mojo.
For sure.
And again, I can't imagine what it is you're dealing with, but we've all been in situations where family members have been dealing with it. And I may one day, all of us are, you know,
sure.
none of us are going to be here forever. So
right.
I'm going to be experiencing, we're all going to experience what it is you're dealing with at some point in our lives where we're going to find ourselves towards the end of WIC. And, just trying to hopefully make the most of it with the little bit of time you have left. So we really appreciate you reaching out and reminding us of that, but also we're trying to give you some tailwinds yourself and say, hey, I hope you find a sense of community with a good bunch of people that are going through something similar. And again, we're here for you.
Try to have some fun before the lights go off. That's always been my thing. Just try to do it. Find a little bit of joy that you can that's at your will here, be it content, experiencing content on, you know, either podcasts or you know, shows or whatever, something that can bring you some joy, some mental escape that helps make your situation a little less heavy. Also, any interactions that you have with people, you know, sharing a smile always, you know, makes your heart a little bit happier. So send you much love. And again, we're not afraid on this podcast to talk about stuff as heavy as two comics because we've been through life as well. So we're just wanting to make sure we answer this question for you and give you a little bit of love. So,
yeah. So we're giving you lots of love.
Yeah.
And
that has been a very, on this week's very serious Two Cool Moms.
Yeah. It should also almost be one of those to be continued.
To be continued.
Next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we love you.
Lots of love to you and lots of love to everybody that's been tuning in. We really appreciate it. We are coming to you live from the fashion capital of New York.
That's right.
Joe's Place.
I hope you enjoyed my outfits. I hope you enjoyed
the Dogfather.
The Dogfather's hat. And
available at Amazon.
And if you're still listening after that, the way that this opened with his sex sounds.
I'm so sorry.
We, in hindsight,
yeah,
we apologize.
But, yeah, that's true. I do apologize. I
apologize.
But everybody keep up. Joe Gatto hitting the road.
Steve Byrne on the road. JoeGattoOfficial.com.
SteveByrneLive.com. Keep up with our tour dates. And
Two Cool Moms, please follow, share, like, subscribe.
And spread the word. Okay, thank you, guys.
Take care.
These two cool mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.